staff meeting this morning with Ehrlichman and Schultz got into quite a discussion of Colson. Ehrlichman was upset because Colson called to say the president had told him to develop legislative strategy against labor with Ehrlichman to give him the staff to do it. Schultz then complained that he gets a note that Colson's talked with Scammon, who will work with us on the GNP figures, and Schultz thinks it's murder to have him in this Colson in it, because everyone thinks he's untrustworthy. Also that he's out to get Hodgson, which is a problem. Ehrlichman then said that George Beall says he can't stay with Colson any longer. Then Schultz made the point that he thinks regarding labor, we may be on the verge of a spectacular breakthrough, because our strategy, which was to neutralize the headquarters and woo the locals, is working, and that now that the headquarters are falling apart at the seams and Meany's power is waning, we're in very good shape. With this in mind, the worst thing we could do is allow Meany to get back on top, and any signals from the White House regarding anti-labor activities would do just that. He says that we can make our changes in labor via the NLRB and the court rather than going into taking them on by legislation. The president was concerned about some stories in the news summary that said that he had muted Connolly and that we were pulling him back and so forth. So he told me to call Connolly in Rome and make the point to him, reassure him that these stories were totally without any foundation in fact. I did that. Connolly seemed to appreciate the call very much and was most enthusiastic about the way today had gone with the group of 10. He said he had presided at the meeting and Volcker had made most of the U.S. presentation, and that he thinks we've finally gotten through to these people what the situation is. He hasn't arrived at any solution yet, but at least he's establish the problem, which is real progress. Kissinger bounced in several times, really furious because he found out Rogers had told Time and had called in Time and Newsweek and told them that the White House is driving him to an anti-Indian policy, which he doesn't want. Also, he's scheduled a congressional briefing tomorrow where he's going to cover the Mideast situation. And he's giving a speech tomorrow night. He's told us nothing about it and won't show us a text. And this is to the Overseas Press Club. And so Henry thinks he's sneaking stuff through on him. He's all cranked up about it. He then came in while I was talking to the president and made the point that Rogers was going to make a public announcement to the congressional group on the Israeli phantoms and undercut the president on that. So Henry's back up in arms. He said that I should understand clearly that if Rogers does do anything permanently detrimental, that he, Kissinger, will resign, and that I shouldn't discount that as an idle threat. It's hard not to after the hundreds of times he's made the same point, however. McGregor called this afternoon from the Hill to say that Butts looks better. He's now got Percy out strongly for him, and he thinks that the trend is going our way and that we may be able to make some headway. He also wanted to talk to the president, which he did, about his idea for free television time for all candidates. The president wasn't really serious about it, but apparently Clark's got something going on it now, and it may turn out to be a pretty good maneuver. End of November 30th.